It's time for overtime.
I think I'm ready for this.
Heck yeah.
In the world of sport, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
It's in the left center field. That's hit well. That'll split the gap.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Welcome into the week-ending edition of Overtime. It is Friday, June the 19th, and we got it all for you today on the program. We're talking NFL, SEC, college football, so much more with Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, and Sports Talk 790 down the road in Houston, Texas. We're also diving into the Friday parlay in hour number one. World Cup, College World Series, latest from the U.S. Open, where we have a latest victim of the old golf temper tantrum. It gets the best of all of us. Somebody throwing a club, chucking a club, kicking around, not having fun at the U.S. Open. We'll dive into that storyline and so much more at the end of hour number one on a Friday. If you're familiar with the show, haven't been around for a while, got to remind you, Friday's at noon. It's time to beat up your neighbor for a prize pack with a High Noon Showdown brought to you by the all-new Uncle Ed's Specialty Meats. Grillable, great set Uncle Ed's, and certainly a great way to elevate any occasion, even if it's just grilling out for the family on what is supposed to be pretty nice weekend ahead in the 6:05 High Noon Showdown. Beat up your neighbor, win that big prize pack, which today will include a two-pack of Rock the Country tickets as well. So certainly find your way to the High Noon Showdown. Big-time opportunity ahead there. Latest from the NFL in hour two. The Minnesota Vikings are going to have to repair the lion's share of their roof of U.S. Bank Stadium. As MJ would say, the ceiling is the roof. Well, the Minnesota Vikings have a project on their hands. No timetable just yet, but we will dive into that story. Hail damage from 2023, getting around to it now in 2026. The latest news on the Minnesota Vikings stadium repair, which will need to be done sooner than later, coming up in hour two, and then the good, the bad, and the ugly before we are done. Well, how about those Minnesota Twins? If we want to tear them down in the offseason, tear them down in the deadline last year, we got to build them up when they're playing inspired baseball. That's what they've been doing lately. Manager Derek Shelton has them on the right track, and it's all about the hot start lately for Minnesota.
Here's the 0-1 pitch, a swing and a fly ball to right. Nimmo back. He will turn. That's going to be a home run. A three-run homer pulled over the wall and right. Almost the same spot where the ball landed off Cody Clemens' bat on Tuesday. It's a two-out, three-run blast from Brooks Lee, and the Twins have a 4-0 lead here in the first inning.
So another hot start for Minnesota early, 4-0 in the first. That was Brooks Lee with the long ball. Minnesota was not done. Here's another deep one in the fourth.
Hit in the air, center field fairly well. Long run, and on the warning track, jumps up, and not sure if he caught it or if it's a home run, but he's on the ground. That's going to be a home run.
Yeah, that ball's not in his glove. That's a home run.
So that's going to be a two-run homer.
So a two-run homer indeed. That one in the top of the fourth for Trevor Larnach, who's been playing pretty darn well. Joe Ryan picked up the win in what was a sweep for Minnesota on the road in Arlington. Yesterday's final, 9-3. New record for the Twins, 36-40. Here's manager Derek Shelton on the pitching performance of Joe Ryan, who moved his record to 5-3.
The execution was a little bit scattered. I thought the stuff was good. It was just he was missing by a ball or two, and then they fouled a ton of balls off, and you have to give him credit. But the fact that he battled the way he did through the first three, I was really pleased that he was able to get us through five.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton. More from Shelty here on the overall team effort. Minnesota riding a heater right now, 36-40, playing good baseball. Here's more on the effort yesterday. They completed the sweep down in Arlington.
Our offense did a good job. They came in and they put pressure on from, you know, sometimes the first hitter of the game, but throughout And then they continued that on. Kreidler hitting the home run late. I thought we did a nice job running the bases. But overall, just a really good team offensive effort throughout the series. Everybody contributed.
And that's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Ryan now 5-3 with a 2.99 ERA this year. Cleveland beat Milwaukee yesterday 4-2. White Sox beat the Yankees 5-1. And Kansas City also got a win over St. Louis 14-6. The final there, Royals are 31-45. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Blue Jays and Cubs get us going a 1:20 go time. White Sox at Tigers, 5:40. Brewers at Braves, Guardians at Astros, Cardinals at the Royals, Rockies host the Pirates. Minnesota opens a series in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. That is 8 o'clock pregame, 8:45 start time. You listen right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. You can also catch that one on TV tonight on Apple TV. WNBA basketball last night, Indiana Fever. Caitlin Clark battling, grinding, but not good enough last night. Atlanta wins 108-101. Fever fall to 9-6. Tonight in the WNBA, got to stay up a little later. Lynx visiting the Golden State Valkyries. 9 o'clock jump time on Ion TV. And then over to the NBA. The draft is less than a week away, but we're talking about those New York Knicks. The talk of the town, the toast of the town, toast of the Big Apple. Yesterday, massive parade as many had in their forecast. Let's talk about next year, though. Does this team need to do a lot this offseason, retool, upgrade the roster, or is it safe to say they'll be just fine if they run it back? Here's ESPN Radio's Mark Zeno.
If the Knicks believe that running it back again is the answer, they're dead wrong. You cannot win it again when you stay the same and everybody else gets better. It's not how it works in sports anymore. Running it back is a recipe for disappointment, not success. They have to make moves to make this team better because they are not the best team in the NBA. We all know that. They played the best basketball. They had the most incredible run of any team in the history of the league, but they are not the best team.
Seems like a pretty fair assessment there from Mark Zeno. They met the moment, won the games they needed to, but you could make an argument the Knicks were not the best team in the NBA this year. Doesn't matter, though. They got a ring on their finger. Jalen Brunson silencing a lot of doubters. Q Meyer says Brunson's not a top five player, but it really doesn't matter all that much.
The league is in such a good place. You don't have to be a top five to be well-respected. I think Jalen Brunson is very well-respected in this league, and he's earned that. I just don't have to slide him in the top five to say that he's that guy. Saying he's top five doesn't validate him. He's already validated himself. It's not me sliding the Knicks. It's not me sliding Jalen Brunson. It's not me trying to throw shade at any Knicks fans. It's what we see in the NBA. They have not had back-to-back champs since the Warriors were doing it.
There you go. It's been a lot of parity at the top. Some would say that's great for the league. All the markets are happy. Everybody's got a fighting shot. Other people will say sports are better when you have a bad guy and a long-term bad guy, i.e. the Kansas City Chiefs in recent memory, the L.A. Lakers, the New York Yankees in recent memory, and, of course, recently as well, the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick-led New England Patriots. So we'll dive into other offseason storylines now. Giannis Antetokounmpo landing spots include Boston. How would he fit in there, and what would the overall dynamic be if Giannis makes his way to Beantown? Here's Emmett Golden.
If that trade does go down, it's only a good trade for Boston because, I mean, what does Brown have out in Milwaukee? They're, you know what I'm saying? They're a lottery team. I don't think he would be excited about that, so I don't know. Like, he may want his own team. I don't think he want his own lottery team, though.
And it's worth noting, Evan Cohen, a couple days ago on ESPN Radio, talking about, you know, we don't really have any definitive information to say that a trade package from Boston to Milwaukee for Giannis includes Jaylen Brown. Maybe Tatum and Brown find a way to stay. They jettison a couple role players, Derek White, premium picks. Maybe another team is involved. We'll see. You get a feeling. You get Tatum, you have Brown, and Giannis. That's a really great core for Boston, but certainly up for debate as far as compensation goes in return for Milwaukee. Now, Michelle Smallman talking about Jerry Jones tying into the NBA and the Knicks story. Not a cautionary tale, but one to take lessons from if you're Jerry Jones and want to be on top eventually. Here's Smallman on that topic.
I don't believe in Jerry Jones. Jerry loves the spectacle, but I could say all of that about one James Dolan. He had been the reason why a lot of people thought the Knicks could never get it done. So if James Dolan can step back enough to let Leon Rose and Worldwide West and subsequently Mike Brown, who they hired to be the head coach, make the basketball decisions, maybe Jerry Jones can take a page out of Dolan's book.
I severely doubt that. He likes the microphones, likes the cameras, likes the spotlight too much. And not just Jerry Jones. People forget it's not all about Jerry. Okay, it is. But Jerry's family is also completely and totally woven into the fabric of the front office there in Dallas. There is no way they would step aside, relinquish roles, hire somebody else. They need to be involved, and that is more than just Jerry. That is Stephen Jones, other family members as well there in Dallas. Let's talk about what's ahead for the LA Lakers this offseason. Bobby Marks, what kind of flexibility do the Lakers have in terms of movers and shakers on the roster?
Whether the Lakers want to act as a cap space team, and where does the number look like after LeBron signs? We're projecting them roughly around $50 million. So let's say if he signs for 30, that doesn't really get you much in free agency. $20 million in cap space, certainly in this market of, you know, centers that, you know, contain the two of the best centers are restricted in Jalen Duren and Walker Kessler here. And then there's the other option, which is probably the more optionality wise, the best way to go is to act over the cap, where you would bring back LeBron James and certainly players like Luke Kennard, and we'll see what happens with Rui Hachimura. And then that basically opens up a lot of different ways you can go from the trade standpoint, where maybe you can package Jared Vanderbilt and DeAndre Ayton, who's got that player option, and go out and get a $28 to $30 million player. And you've got those two future picks along with the pick of this year's draft. So that gives you a lot more flexibility there. So as I said, two different options. The cap space game is a little bit more dangerous just because there's not that much out there in free agency.
That's ESPN's Bobby Marks on the LA Lakers. Let's get you your NASCAR fix heading into the weekend. The race is a road course race at San Diego Sunday, 3 o'clock on Prime Video and on HBO. And over to the National Football League, former NFL general manager Mike Tannenbaum talking about the Brendan Sorsby situation and saying simply, NFL teams will explain away a lot of issues if they can land their quarterback of the future.
There's a lot of people in the league that I've talked to that say, like, the one line you can't cross is gambling on your own team. Mm-hmm. That's a death penalty. And there's the other segment that's like, well, wait a second. This is a young man who never been on a game he played in. No evidence that he ever tried to throw a game. Grew up with a phone and had all this information thrown at him from sports betting. And if he's hanging out with a bunch of buddies who could do this all legally, clearly has... He broke a rule. He should be held accountable, but he may be a franchise quarterback. There is a mindset in the NFL that if Hannibal Lecter ran a 4.3, somebody would say, oh, that's just an eating disorder.
A Hannibal Lecter running a 4.3. Elite comparison for Mike Tannenbaum, explaining away all sorts of issues. And frankly, he's not wrong. I'm sure there's certain general managers that rub elbows with Roger Goodell that are saying, I'm not touching Brendan Sorsby with a 10-foot pole. There might be other general managers out there that are saying, you know what? That's not even our sport. That happened in college. That thing years ago. Who cares about that? We're all in on Brendan Sorsby. Welcome to town. We'll throw a second round pick at you. Hopefully we can get our hands on you and make sure no further mistakes are made. We believe in Brendan Sorsby. More from Tannenbaum on some unlikely fits, but interesting fits as far as teams go. Contending teams that could come calling for Brendan Sorsby coming up later on next month.
I think it's a non-obvious team, and I'll be specific here. Detroit, Philadelphia. A couple of years ago, Carson Wentz entrenched as the quarterback of the Eagles. Second round, Jalen Hurts. How'd that turn out? Super Bowl winning quarterback. If you're the Eagles and you know you're going to be a good team, or the Lions, and you're drafting towards the bottom in the second round, and you draft Brendan Sorsby and say, hey, look, Brendan, here's the deal. You're coming in on a one-day contract, and if you go to counseling and you go to meetings and you're a great teammate, you're going to come back tomorrow. And we're going to stack one good day on top of the next. And next August, if he has an unbelievable preseason, do you know what you'd be able to trade him for? Or maybe you're sitting there with your franchise quarterback. And then when you look at the Packers, right? They had Favre, they drafted Rodgers. Mm-hmm. They had Rodgers, they drafted Jordan Love. Any of those organizations, someone's going to look at this as an unexpected opportunity.
And it's very well said from Mike Tannenbaum. Yes, the Green Bay Packers could come calling. They do have a backup plan in Tyrod Taylor, but so do the Detroit Lions, whose backup quarterback primarily is Teddy Bridgewater. But both of those individuals are in that swan song stage of their NFL career. Bridgewater has been retired, come back. He is the QB2 right now in Detroit. And then for Philadelphia, I don't really buy them as much, Flynn, and simply because they have other options behind Jalen Hurts right now, including Tanner McKee, who reportedly they really like, the league really likes. And then they also just drafted Cole Payton from NDSU. They have a lot of quarterback options there in Philadelphia, but Detroit, spot on. Green Bay certainly could come calling. There's other teams out there, especially like the New York Jets, like the Pittsburgh Steelers, like the Cleveland Browns, that could start Brendan Sorsby as soon as mid-season, next season. That urgency to me gives me a little bit more confidence that they'll be the teams coming calling. But to Mike Tannenbaum's point, a Lions team, a Niners team, a Seattle Seahawks, Green Bay Packers team that are likely to be in the playoffs this coming year, they're not going to get a premium quarterback in the 2027 draft. If they wanted one, they could get one today, as in next month, get a whole season of runway before having to physically actually spend the draft capital. That is pretty darn intriguing stuff moving forward in the National Football League. Over to the U.S. Open. Yesterday, we saw a dominant performance, a first-round 64 shot by Wyndham Clark. He was 6-under yesterday, 1-under today through 14. He remains your outright leader by a margin of 4 strokes, 7-under. Xander Schauffele, 3-under. He's 4-under today. Morikawa, 5-under today. He is 2-under along with Sam Stevens. And rounding out the top five, there are, 10 golfers at 1-under, including Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Akshay Bhatia, Corey Connors, Matt Fitzpatrick, and Ludvig Åberg. Keep you up to date on the latest from the U.S. Open as we move forward. College World Series, the final is set. Best of three series starts Saturday night, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Oklahoma meeting up with North Carolina, 7 o'clock ESPN Saturday, 1:30 ABC on Sunday. And Game 3, if necessary, will be Monday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Lastly on the scorecard, World Cup action yesterday, Czechia came to a draw with South Africa 1-1. Switzerland beat the brakes off of Bosnia-Herzegovina 4-1. Canada beat Qatar 6-0. And Mexico found their way by South Korea 1-0. Mexico out to a nice start, 2-0-0 in World Cup play. Today at the World Cup, USA up against Australia in Seattle. That is a 2 o'clock go time, an extended lunch break in the cards. I'll put in a Burt Doctor note for you. Thank me later. 2 o'clock on Fox. Team USA favored to win minus 160 against the Aussies out there at Lumen Field in Seattle. Elsewhere, Scotland, my personal backup team, insanely fun to root for this time around. Scotland facing Morocco, 5 o'clock on Fox. Brazil meets Haiti, 7:30 on Fox. And Turkey and Paraguay lock horns 10 o'clock tonight, the nightcap on Fox Sports 1. Quick toe dip into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. As always, for a better local banking option, you can check them out in person in the 605 or online at ReliaBank.com. Anna Willis wrapped up a historic sophomore season at USD with a third-place finish at the NCAA Championships last week and has been named the Summit League Women's Outdoor Field Athlete of the Year by the conference office as of this week. Willis was the highest placing Summit League athlete, men's or women's, at the NCAA Championships with a third place finish in the women's pole vault. Willis had strong performances all year long, placing inside the top three at each meet. This is South Dakota's 7th Outdoor Field Athlete of the Year award. On the women's side, big news from Brookings yesterday. South Dakota State University athletic officials have scheduled the groundbreaking ceremony for the future home of SDSU women's soccer, taking place on Tuesday, July the 28th, on the site of the future facility in the campus up in Brookings. The ceremonial groundbreaking, which is open to the public, will begin at 4:30 p.m. Social hour will follow the event starting at approximately 5 p.m. Again, the date there, Tuesday, July the 28th. The ceremony follows the significant gift provided by Dakota Layers LLC and the Ramsdale family that was previously announced in November. Their gift is the largest investment on record for a women's-only initiative for SDSU athletics. Bravo there. Full details at gojacks.com. And lastly here, concluding your ReliaBank headlines of the day with Byron Buxton speaking out amid speculation that he could be on the move ahead of the August 3rd trade deadline. Minnesota center fielder Byron Buxton reiterated Thursday, quote, I'm a Minnesota Twin. Buxton, who is hitting 270, 23 homers, 36 RBI in 64 games, has 2 years left on a seven-year, $100 million contract with Minnesota. Also has a full no-trade clause, which he could invoke to block any potential deal. Asked about his name being floated around in trade rumors, Buxton told The Athletic, "I don't give a bleep." Gotta love Byron Buxton, the commitment to Minnesota, and you get the feeling you believe Byron Buxton. If Atlanta came calling with a tremendous package, he's from that area, could work that out, but will Atlanta be buying a Byron Buxton at the deadline? That would be a different story. We'll take a break, come back with football talk, Texans talk, SEC, Brendan Sorsby, and so much more. Our friend Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, and Sports Talk 790 joins us next on this Friday, June 19th edition of Overtime.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Just getting going on this Friday, June 19th edition of Overtime. It is football season. It is football season. The World Cup underway. Also, before too long, we'll be talking about college football. The NFL more prevalent as we near training camp in the month ahead. Here to break down some big storylines for us, talk some Brendan Sorsby and some World Cup, Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, and Sports Talk 790 down there in Houston. Cole, always great to have you, my friend. How you doing this week?
Bert, it's a wonderful time because of when people say this is the deadest experience of sports, you can go ahead and look at them straight in the face and go, we pretend to care about soccer for the next 32 days. You're all going to sit down, shut up, and love it. You've never been more proud of the red, white, and blue. They're going up against a bunch of exploited convicts today out in Australia. Their food sucks down there. And you know what? The first goal goes through, it's going to feel like the first beer you ever had in your life.
Hey, I love that description. Certainly, Team USA fired up after an inspired opener. They got the Aussies coming up this afternoon out there in Seattle, where the get-in price is somewhere in between $1,500, $1,800, and probably going up at this stage. Cole, personally, how invested are you in the World Cup? And I heard the question asked yesterday on ESPN Radio about backup teams or rooting for nations outside of Team USA. Personally, I'm going to push back a little bit here. Not really rooting for anything heritage related as much as I'm obsessed with the Scots this time around. I want Scotland to do well. If they go up against Team USA, I'm Team USA all the way. Do you have a problem with ancillary rooting interests, or if Americans are rooting for a different country more than their own in the World Cup?
Now, let's just start there. If it's more than your own, we got a problem.
Yeah.
You can just go high-tailed on out of here and go move to that country. Let's welcome you with open arms and see what happens. But if you want to root for a second country because if you're really big into the Premier League or into UEFA or CONCACAF and you like certain players, I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. History, again, we're one of the biggest melting pots that has ever existed. So naturally, we come from all different diversities. So root for the country that you pull for. If you got a certain favorite player, I can tell you what, I'm all for it. The dude that plays for Denmark is awesome. He looks like Thor. It's like, hell yeah, I want more of that dude on my television screen. So by all means, do so. I don't have a problem with it. But at the end of the day, when the red, white, and blue are strapping on up, I don't care if you have any bit of a loyalty to a guy from Australia, from Panama, from Canada, for that instance, you're putting boot to ass. That's what we know right there. I've actually been paying a lot more attention than I thought I would. You know, when it initially came on out, I was like, I'll watch the U.S. games, and then every once in a blue moon, I'll check in on what's going on with Lionel Messi and what's going on with Neymar and then Mbappe. But, you know, last night, I was fully invested into watching Korea versus Mexico. And then even before that, the Colombian game against Uzbekistan, I mean, like the fact that they weren't throwing any whistles, like we call it all the time. They flop over there and they try to eat some minutes. They weren't flopping in that matchup. And that's when you know that it is full on pedal to the metal. There's a lot at stake when it comes to these games.
Certainly is true, and I got it on every day at my house. I'm a lot more invested than I thought I'd be as well. Team USA taking on Australia in Seattle, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Coverage on Fox, where Team USA marginally favored to win their second match of the World Cup. Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, and Sports Talk 790, our guest. Cole, this hits right up your alley, man. Brendan Sorsby, college football, pro football. He's petitioning to the National Football League now. Give me your take about last Monday's news on the Brendan Sorsby drama and where we are right now with Sorsby looking to enter the National Football League in a supplemental draft for the ages.
Well, it's kind of a double and that sword because of just because if you enter the supplemental draft doesn't mean anything for you. Mm-hmm. Teams can go ahead and not put in a bid and say, well, now you're an undrafted free agent, figure out what's next. And still the NFL could go ahead and suspend Brendan Sorsby before he ever plays it down because of the ramifications of what he did. You know, let's start off with the fact of you want to see a player get, I mean, you want to see a person just who's dealing with an addiction find a solution. Mm-hmm. I think that's priority number one. The problem with this is, though, just because if you do something wrong doesn't mean you're free of consequences. Like, yeah, you have a problem, but that doesn't mean that you don't have to suffer what is the action because of it. You know, I heard the best representation out there recently is, you know, why am I the one that's getting caught speeding when the guy next to me was doing just as fast? Okay, well, unfortunately, you're the guinea pig. You gotta get over it. You illegally bet on games. The NCAA has made clear you are not allowed to partake in. And then let's go a step further. You made over 40 bets on games for a team that you were playing on. Whether or not you were in the game, that's the reason why Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame mm-hmm. in Major League Baseball. And countless other consequences that have been handed on down for lesser tier materials throughout the NCAA sanctions. And for Cody Campbell to go ahead and lay 10 toes down and say, you know what, we are all invested on making sure that this kid's going to be able to play. He's going to be on out there. And credit where credit's due, the Big 12 stuck up and they said, nope, we are not going to let you get away with this one. We are standing for the sanctity of college football. And ultimately, I don't know if it was Cody Campbell that said, you know, bygones be bygones, is paying the $5 million and getting the hell out of the building. Or if it was Brendan Sorsby saying, I appreciate all that you've done for me, but if I'm not going to play this year, I can't afford to sit out a season when you look at names like Lenore Sellers and Arch Manning and Julian Sang and Dante Moore all coming out next season. I got to take the field. So this is what's best for me. Regardless, the bottom line is that you should never have seen Brendan Sorsby play college football again. He broke the NCAA bylaws in a way that we have never seen done before. And the last time that we did see a player even come close to making these type of gambles where he didn't bet on games himself, but he bet on games through a second party, it was Hunter Deckers at Iowa State, mm-hmm. and he never played football again afterwards. And it really put a damper on the Iowa State community because they thought that he was going to be the quarterback to propel them into the future. Now, Sorsby could go pro. Sorsby could end up having a pretty decent NFL. The tape itself probably grades out as a late day two prospect. You know, he does have incredible arm strength. He is mobile. There are design runs that I think would be really beneficial to any offensive coordinator that wants to be able to get more mobile with the quarterback. But you have to realize he is far from a proven player. He is still erratic as a passer. The deep ball is there. The accuracy isn't. And then let's not mention, you have over 2,600 bets and recently just got out of rehab for a gambling addiction where people are now going to ponder every single throw for the rest of your life. Is this an interception because of it was a bad read? Or is an interception thrown because if you were betting on the game and you were trying to shave points? So, like, things like that could go a long way. There's going to be a team that will probably put in the bid for him. I would say right now you're looking at a day three selection. He may end up being a decent quarterback. I personally thought he was going to be the most overrated quarterback in the NFL, in college football this year. There's no reason to pay a kid who never threw for 3,000 yards in his tenure $5 million to be the starting quarterback for a roster that said, the reason we didn't win a playoff game last year was because of our quarterback. You're basically kind of just treading water and going in circles and trying to beat the definition of insanity with that one. It's a lot to take in here, but for college football, it's a big win that you have the right adult in the room. The biggest problem that you have right now is who's to blame. And to be completely transparent, there's a lot of people to blame, but the name that needs to be front and center with all of it is Brendan Sorsby. And so far, it feels like that he is trying to keep playing the victim card.
So let's talk a little bit deeper about that situation. You've put the forecast out there, day three pick. Is there a team that you think makes the most sense for Brendan Sorsby? A lot of people pointing to the Jets, the Steelers, of course, the Browns always need a quarterback of the future. For me, the Detroit Lions make a ton of sense. Is there a team that makes the most sense to you that wouldn't surprise you at all if they end up winning the services of Brendan Sorsby coming up in July?
Yeah, no, unfortunately. I just don't see him as being a future NFL full-time starter, really. I just don't. I think that he'll be a qualified backup that probably can make it around the league as a journeyman, but you're not wasting a second-round pick that is going to be taken away from you next offseason when you know that there's a draft filled with guys who probably have far more upside and tangibles and will have an entire season to grow and mature as passers going into 2027. So, I mean, there was one team, the Jets, do make a lot of sense for the main reason of, look, if we don't win this year, Geno Smith or not, we're not going to have our staff back next season. So we can go ahead and make a ploy for him. Doesn't mean that we're still going to keep our jobs after this year, but we're going to do everything possible to go ahead and hopefully pan on out and make him the right fit. Arizona would be really interesting. You know, do they really like Carson Beck, or was it more so a quarterback that they took because of they needed to take somebody with the Jacoby Brissett situation going on? Take two young quarterbacks and let them battle it on out, let just Kobe walk and try to find another job. You know, the Steelers would be a really intriguing one, but they did use a third round pick on Drew Aller, which a lot of people are forgetting about. And so would you really use another third round pick on a quarterback next season for what? For both of them to potentially sit after 27 if Aaron Rodgers struggles? So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. The wild card team I think you get thrown here just because of Jerry Jones feels like he'd be the crazy one to do it is Dallas. And I'm not saying that Dallas would use like a second or third round pick on him, but a fourth round pick and believing that, hey, if I don't have to pay Dak Prescott, maybe this guy in our offensive personnel scheme works on out. Hell yeah, why not? Let's hope that he can end up being something similar to what we saw 10 years ago when we took the kid out of Mississippi State. And he has the draft collateral to be able to make that move. The team that I personally would love to see him go to, if you're talking about getting an opportunity to play, would be the Indianapolis Colts. You know, you don't know what you're going to get entirely from Daniel Jones this year. I know you paid him a lot of money, but he's coming off a torn Achilles, and you still don't know if he's going to end up being that passer that we envisioned back in week 4 and week 5 a season later. I think, again, the Anthony Richardson experiment is completely dead at this point. And Riley Leonard has a ceiling, where I do think that there is a ceiling for Sorsby, but it's a lot higher than the kid that you drafted out of Notre Dame 2 years ago. So maybe that would be like another team that you could pay attention to.
Certainly a lot of different teams in the mix for the services of Brendan Sorsby. Still waiting to see if that supplemental draft is on. If it is, it'll be coming up in the middle of next month. We're talking with Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, Sports Talk 790 here on the Friday edition of Overtime. Cole, before we cut you loose, man, you're keyed in on that AFC South race. There's a lot of good teams in that division. Jags, of course, the Colts, your Texans, and of course, Titans should be better. What's the pecking order in your mind right now for that division? And as we move off of the South, the Rams are the worthy favorite to win the whole darn thing next year. If not L.A., then who right now in your eyes in the NFL?
Yeah, it's the Texans, then nobody cares about the rest of you. That's kind of what it is.
So you got the Texans.
The New England Patriots had the easiest schedule in NFL history. Well, the fourth easiest schedule in NFL history was the Jacksonville Jaguars last season, and they went 13-4. You lost your best linebacker in Devin Lloyd. You lost your best offensive weapon outside of maybe you could say Travis Hunter, but he's going to defense for with Shane going to New Orleans. So you're putting a lot of pressure on Torrance to have to play hero ball and be the X factor like he was at times a season ago. You're looking at this defensive personnel and saying to yourself, they did lose some key elements. They didn't have a good draft, in my opinion, and they didn't do much in free agency to upgrade areas that definitely need attention. So maybe they'll finish second. Maybe they'll finish third. Indianapolis is just a kind of wait-and-see game right now when it comes to what are we getting with Daniel Jones? What is Alec Pierce going to do in year two after we paid him a bucket load of money to be a wide receiver one? What do we feel like that the rest of this team looks like surrounding our quarterback? Do we feel like that our offensive line that took a hit this offseason is going to be improved? I don't know. And that's a big question mark, I think, for the long term of building this team upright and making it promising. The Titans are a really intriguing roster because I didn't like to pick a Cardale Tate only because of I thought he was a wide receiver number two. Mm-hmm. For the fourth overall pick, you probably need a wide receiver number one. Doesn't mean he can't be successful in Nashville, but do you really think that he is going to be paired alongside Wandale Robinson and Calvin Ridley? And that's enough of an offensive personnel group to where you can believe, hell yeah, we've been able to put ourselves in a great position to be able to strike. I do like their defensive moves, though. I think that they will be one of the more improved teams. And then the Texans are the Texans. The Rams should be the favorites. It's really hard not to say Seattle just because of the Seahawks are the reigning champions. But if you look right now, I think in the AFC, it's a now or never moment for the Buffalo Bills. You know, they went out and they brought in DJ Moore to be the new wide receiver number one. They were able to retain multiple players on their offensive line, including they did lose David Edwards, but they were able to keep Connor McGovern, which I thought was a big-time deal. I really love their draft class. I thought they had some really good finds in free agency on the defensive side. But more than anything else, they have an MVP-caliber quarterback, and the big question mark was, did we have ourselves, were we held back last season by inadequate play calling and different and deciding factors with Sean McDermott running the show? All right, so if he's no longer running the show, does that mean that you think Joe Brady's going to come on in and basically do things a little bit different to where maybe that game against Denver goes completely in favor of Buffalo? And if so, you have an MVP quarterback, you're going to be a favorite. So Buffalo, I think, belongs in that conversation. Seattle probably belongs to that conversation. I would say Houston is on the outside looking in slightly. Number one defense, great, but you got to ask yourself, what's C.J. Stroud going to be this year? There does feel like a clear separation, though, between Los Angeles and anybody else. Like, it's tier one, you have the crown, nobody's coming to mess with you, and then throw, like, four or five teams in that where it wouldn't surprise you. But what happened in L.A. to force them to not be able to hoist the Lombardi Trophy, I think, is the better answer.
Certainly a lot of great stuff. A big season ahead in the National Football League. We'll be talking more college football next time around with Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, and Sports Talk 790. Cole, always appreciate the time, my friend. Have a great weekend and enjoy the World Cup.
Enjoy Red, White, and Blue. Talk to you guys soon. Thanks,
Matt. All right. Cole Thompson of Texans Wire, SEC Unfiltered, Sports Talk 790, laying it out for us there in the AFC South as somebody that talks about those Houston Texans, covers those Houston Texans all the time. Pretty candid. Kind of feels like a similar team to Green Bay. I'm not comparing the Packer defense to the Texan defense, but a similar storyline in that, okay, time to put up or shut up for C.J. Stroud. Jordan Love feels like in a similar situation to Stroud this season with Green Bay. No Micah early on. Hopefully Tucker Kraft, Zach Tom, Devontae Wyatt coming back early for Green Bay. But somebody's got to lead Green Bay, and it is number 10, Jordan Love. Similar down there in Houston for C.J. Stroud. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one with Friday Parlay getting posted up live. World Cup, College World Series, U.S. Open scoreboard latest on the way as we move on through this Friday, June 19th edition of Overtime. After this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, June 19th edition of Overtime. I was hammering away on the keyboard, took it up to the final bell there as we're getting the Friday Parlay posted up live here on the week-ending edition of the show. Friday Parlay is big as always. Opportunity to score some swag, ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt, and so much more. Let's meet the moment right now with the Friday Parlay. We are going to be moving and grooving around the sports world. We got some College World Series, Major League Baseball, World Cup, and some golf thrown in on this weekend's Friday Parlay. Enter now on Twitter. It's a Twitter-exclusive contest. You want to win? Make an account. Give us a follow. Hammer in your entry and win big over a big weekend. Oklahoma and North Carolina colliding at the College World Series final this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, if necessary. I'm just keying in on Saturday's ball game. Who wins, the Sooners or the Heels in game number one? Now, Minnesota Twins baseball, they're in the desert this weekend visiting the Arizona Diamondbacks. What's the final to Saturday's game? A win or a loss? Minnesota and Arizona, take your pick. And then World Cup, Netherlands and Sweden, a grudge match, regional battle from the North America-based World Cup this time around. Who wins that match? That's coming up on Saturday. Should be a pretty hotly contested affair. Netherlands or Sweden, take your pick. And then your tiebreaker, winning score to par at the U.S. Open. And again, I can't stress this enough. Every time we rope in golf, somebody's entry says five. Give me a plus or a minus, please. If you think it's an absurdly difficult tournament and you want to say plus five, great, but include that because I don't want to be the person to rain on a parade. If you are a winner with a winning entry closest to the pin, but you forgot your plus or your minus in regards to golf. So Friday Parlay posted up live right now. You can find it on Twitter at ESPN Sioux Falls. Ready to rumble, College World Series, Major League Baseball, World Cup, and the U.S. Open. Let's dive right into some whip-around coverage here from around the sports world. We start in the WNBA, where you have met your match for the Commissioner's Cup Final. The Las Vegas Aces and head coach Becky Hammond will head to the WNBA Commissioner's Cup Championship game for the third time. The Aces clinched the berth with an 86-76 win over the Mercury in Phoenix on Wednesday night. Asia Wilson had 33 points and 11 rebounds in the win. Las Vegas will represent the Western Conference against the Eastern Conference's New York Liberty. Title game at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn coming up around the corner on June the 30th. No team has won the cup twice since it began in 2021. A share of a $500,000 prize pool is at stake in the June 30th finale. That is set as the Aces and the New York Liberty. Other news to get to. I want some hockey. How about dreaming about the Minnesota Wild this offseason? The NHL offseason should be pretty darn busy. Couple notable trade requests, including Dylan Larkin saying, "Get me out of here," from Detroit. Now, Minnesota not projected to land Larkin. They're in the conversation, but ESPN.com has an article featuring five trades that they would like to see this offseason. Minnesota probably should be active, probably strike when the iron's hot, and they had their best season in a decade this past year. The Wild are good, could get a lot better, and the trade that they want to see at ESPN.com features the Wild receiving forward Vincent Trocheck from the Rangers for Daniila Yurov, a first-round pick in 27 and a fourth-round pick in 27. Why it works, according to ESPN.com, the Wild are going to make their pitch for Dylan Larkin. Since he wields a no-trade clause, there's a decent possibility he might end up joining a few of his Team USA gold medalists and GM Bill Guerin, who built that Olympic roster, kind of the elite center with the Wild desperately needing their lineup, which is a donut in a conference filled with powerhouses that go deep in the middle. We'll see about whether or not they're in play for Dylan Larkin. Might be a little bit too rich for their taste. They could end up with Vincent Trocheck, who turns 33 in July, a deemed Swiss Army knife kind of player, according to that article at ESPN.com. Action from the U.S. Open continuing, and whatever dread Wyndham Clark felt when he saw the tee times and the forecast for the U.S. Open gave way to hope yesterday, and he still hasn't even arrived at Shinnecock Hills as of yesterday. Morning fog led to a two-hour delay. Clark had a feeling his late afternoon start, according to ESPN.com, would be an advantage as the wind began to subside with the setting sun. The former U.S. Open champion rode a birdie-birdie eagle stretch to a 6-under par through 16 for a 4-shot lead yesterday. Let's take a look at that scorecard, because at last check, Wyndham Clark was still hanging on to that 4-shot lead over Xander Schauffele, and now Wyndham Clark has a 5-shot lead, very much in conversation to win a U.S. Open. Clark 7-under par blitzing the rest of the field. Schauffele actually just shaved it right back down to four. How about that? Three under for Xander Schauffele, two under for Morikawa, Fitzpatrick, Sam Stevens, and then a smattering of golfers, including Rory McIlroy at one under par right now. And Rory definitely in the mix. We'll get you the farthest he's going. He will start out his day this afternoon, 1:02 p.m. And then you got Scottie Scheffler, who will start a little bit later, 1:30-ish. For Scottie Scheffler, he is in the mix still, two over par. So, yes, he is nine strokes off the lead. But we know Scottie Scheffler well. Takes a little time building in. We'll see exactly what he can be the rest of the way at the U.S. Open. Well, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Somebody had to be the clown at the U.S. Open yesterday, and that player's name was Joaquin Niemann. The Chilean native drove two balls out of bounds on the par 4-6th, his 15th hole on the round. On Thursday, shortly before first-round play at the U.S. Open, was suspended because of darkness at Shinnecock Hills. It would only get worse for the LIV Golf League captain once play resumed this morning. Niemann ended up carding a quintuple bogey 9 on the hole. One of us. Google goggle, one of us. 9! Triple quintuple bogey on the hole, and it was later changed to a 7 over 11 after the USGA docked him a two-stroke penalty for throwing a club. The 27-year-old Niemann ended up posting an 8 over 78 in the first round, was already back on the course playing in the second round when the penalty was announced. Niemann threw the club after his approach. His sixth shot on the hole came up short of the green while he was trying to finish. Just last night, U.S. Open volunteer who witnessed the exchange told The Athletic that Niemann asked a UGSA rules official for relief from fire ants near his ball. Sounds pretty reasonable. Niemann was denied that request, kicked a flag that had been marking the ball in high native grass, and threw his club at least 50 yards. Maybe I don't take myself serious enough on the golf course. Personally, got some temper issues from time to time, but I've never thrown a golf club like that. But fire ants do not get along with me. Very allergic to them. If you don't know what they are, you're lucky. But fire ants, nothing to play with. Joaquin Niemann frustrated by that and everything. Yesterday, a 7 over 11 on the hole for Joaquin Niemann. Lastly here from the World Cup. Let's explain this to you as best we can. Canada had a big win last night. Jonathan David's hat trick propelled Team Canada to a historic 6-0 rout of Qatar in Vancouver on Thursday to go to the top of their World Cup group. It was not only Canada's first victory at a World Cup, but also equaled the record margin of victory for a tournament host, matching the 6-goal wins for Italy in 1934, Brazil in 1950, and Argentina in 1978, Canada's tally against Qatar also doubled the number of goals they had in their World Cup history. Coming into the game, Jonathan David, a hat trick. Team Canada now 1-1-0. Mexico 2-0-0. And Team USA, hopefully, that same record after today's stomping of Australia out in Seattle. So where do we stand right now in Group D, featuring USA, Paraguay, Australia, and Turkey? The United States' historic win over Paraguay opened a path for them to qualify after just two matches for the knockout round. If Team USA beats Australia this afternoon, they would qualify for the next round. If Turkey lose or draw against Paraguay in match week two as well, the U.S. would win the group. Australia, similarly strong position. If they find a way to beat Team USA, they would be guaranteed to advance. And on the flip side, Paraguay would be knocked out of the World Cup if they lose to Turkey and Australia wins or draw against the U.S. So a lot at stake here. The next matchups again, Team USA, Australia today, 2 o'clock Central. Turkey and Paraguay from Santa Clara, California, coming up later on tonight, 9 o'clock local start time. If I'm doing my math correctly, I think that'll be right around 11 o'clock this evening. 10 o'clock, Fox Sports 1 for that final game. That's the latest and greatest whip around coverage. Friday Parlay posted up live on Twitter. Get there, enter, chance to win big, including a 2-pack of all session tickets to Rock the Country. Certainly a lot going on there. Excuse me, Rock the Country in the next prize pack. That's wrong. Friday Parlay, big prize pack. Rock the Country coming up for whoever can beat up their neighbor in the High Noon Showdown. We'll take callers right now. 605-362-3776. The number to dial. The High Noon Showdown, always a fun fiesta
of a fight every single Friday here on the program. Caller one, caller two, duke it out. 605-362-3776, the number to dial. We need two callers, and we'll go to war for Rock the Country tickets. It's a two-day concert. Kid Rock, Stained, Brantley Gilbert, so many more coming into town at the fairgrounds. Not this weekend, but next weekend. You want to go? You got to win. The High Noon Showdown, 605-362-3776. The number to dial. A big prize pack in store. Caller one, caller two, duke it out next. 605-362-3776.